Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back to another episode of the How I Quit Alcohol podcast. For first-time listeners, please be aware that not all of the conversations within this podcast are suitable for children. I'd also like to add a trigger warning that sometimes the conversations can get a little heavy. We may talk about things like sexual abuse, domestic violence, drug use, and alcohol use. And if you feel that that may trigger you, please do not tune in. Also, I'd like to add, if you are a heavy daily drinker, please seek the help of a medical practitioner before quitting alcohol. This podcast comes to you from beautiful Bundjalung country. Please kick back and enjoy, grab yourself your favourite alcohol-free bevy, and if you haven't already, do a gal a favour, please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Hi, and welcome back to How I Quit Alcohol. Today in the Zoom room, she's back, she's better than ever, Lucy Quick, who is the former owner of Thrivalist, amazing sobriety coaching services, which has now been bought out, which we will talk about also in this podcast. What we're talking about today is the evolution beyond sobriety and learning how to trust our gut, to trust our instinct, and to really, I guess, step into that next part of ourselves, which sometimes might involve morphing our past with our new self. But really, it's what this is about. This conversation today is about what life looks like, you know, on the other side of sobriety when you've got a few years down the track and, yeah, that whole recreation of self. So, Lucy Quick, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. How are you doing and what are you doing?
Thanks so much, Danny. Thank you for having me back. I love your podcast. It's an honor to be here. I have been really, really good. And if I'm completely honest, my life just keeps getting better and better. You know, it's not without crappy days, crappy weeks, crappy situations happening. But ultimately, when you talk about this evolution, when we are really tuning into that intuition and being guided around what our next phase of life is, and we're really following that and trusting that process, it just feels like life gets better for us. So yeah, I'm great.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's such a good thing because I guess some of us can get really stagnant in our sobriety. I see that happen a lot, especially around the 1 year mark. And I find if people can get through that 1 year mark and then beyond, and I think that's when things start to really shift into a new gear for people. But you're 5.5 years sober now. And we've talked about it before on the podcast, but give people listening a glimpse of what life was like for you before you quit drinking.
Yeah, so coming up to 5.5 years this year, Danny. And so it's quite funny. I was flicking through some old photos on my phone last night, as you do, and looking back at the photos of when I was drinking, I was really always, out of my group of friends, the one who was the most drunk. I was the most messy. I was the one who actually looks wasted in all the photos, the one that people were laughing at, to be completely honest, the one who, you know, I'd come home and the next morning have forgotten pretty much all of the night. So the blackouts were happening all the time towards the end. And for me, drinking was always an issue. It was always an issue from teenage years. I was always unable to press stop. And I think we spoke a lot about that on the last episode together, but I didn't have an off switch. And it was kind of all funny and, yeah, she's got a binge drinking problem and sort of doesn't really matter because lots of people do this. And then as I got older and I started to have proper jobs and you know, working in companies that involved Thursday night drinks or there were work events, my alcohol, my drinking really morphed into my corporate life as well.
What was your job?
So I was working in marketing for 20 years, actually. I started my career working for a finance company and moved over to the UK, lived in London and worked for an investment bank, an insurance company, came back and worked for a property developer, so worked for Australia Post for a little bit. I was always in that sort of corporate marketing roles and thought that was what I was supposed to do for the rest of my life. But of course, we get sober and we see things clearly and we realize maybe we're not always doing what we're supposed to be doing. So that was when, you know, about a year into my sobriety, I took that plunge into a career change. So moved out of marketing and into coaching and launched Thrivalist. But yeah, just going back to me as a drinker, I was completely disconnected from who I really was as a person. And I didn't have any of the coping mechanisms to take care of myself. I was completely unbalanced. And this is something I talk a lot about with my clients now. It's balance is key for high performance. We have to be looking at all areas of our life, all dimensions, and making sure we're investing a proportionate amount of energy into each dimension. We can't just be partying heaps and then trying to work, but then we're not, you know, we haven't got the self-care fundamentals in place. And for me, it was so out of whack. And my drinking really escalated after my second child, and I was working and, you know, I remember doing really early morning drop-offs at daycare and then driving to work, juggling these stressful meetings and deadlines and, you know, narcissistic personalities and toxic behaviors in the workplace, being fully anxious, often because I was hungover. And I remember having panic attacks in the bathroom and really not knowing how to regulate my nervous system. And then as soon as I walked in that door, it was, get me the wine. This is what's going to make me feel better. And would drink pretty much every night towards the end. And so, yeah, it was a very unhealthy lifestyle. And I wasn't facing any of the real issues behind why I drank or why I felt the way that I felt. I was just escaping from it and masking and trying to avoid facing any real problem in life. So that was me as a drinker.
I think it's so important too what you said, Lucy, about really recognizing where we're out of balance, and balance is key to a happy life and to, I guess, to a life that creates us more freedom and spaciousness. Because when we're tipping one way into one area, other areas are going to suffer. So we really need, it's so important to find that balance. And look, I'm definitely guilty of that. I can go like so hard into an, that's why I was such a good binge drinker, you know, and that's why I got so good at wellness. And then I get so good at study. And for me, it's a constant dance of learning how to balance my work life, my study life, my wellness, all those things, because I can, you know, and it's so easy for us to just tip. But as soon as we tip, other areas start to suffer. That's why it's so great to learn and to recognize, am I putting too much into this area and what's going on with these other areas in my life? Where is, am I coming out of balance? And really we want to be able to live a life that is balanced and notice those times when we are slipping out. And I think the more work you do, I was just talking with Luke Snooski about this on my last podcast on Sunday. For me, the more work that I do on stillness, on meditation, all those sort of practices, becoming more aware of my own body and the signals my body's sending. I know now just the slightest, even in a conversation with someone, oh, I'm tipping slightly out here. Do I need to come back in to center? And obviously you don't get it all the time, but it's so important really, yeah, to be in center. And you can see why I'm imagining you in this corporate world and juggling kids and running to daycare and then bang straight into the office. I could imagine this woman just getting so out of center and the nervous system being so fired and wired, and that no wonder when she got home from work, she just wants to find some kind of calm, the only way she knows how, which, like you say, was in the bottle. So yeah, it's a big thing, isn't it, for people, that kind of tuning in and asking those questions, you know, where am I out of balance? What do I need to bring myself into balance? The problem with the alcohol is it's not balancing.
No. And it's so interesting. And obviously I'm working with high achieving individuals at the moment in my new coaching, but what I see all the time, and Danny, I'm sure you know people like this, is people think they're high performing because they're doing really well professionally. They're climbing the corporate ladder. They're meeting their sales targets, the progression to be the CEO. And for me, I was high performing in my career as well. Mm. But to sustain high performance long term, which is what it's all about, right? We can be really high performing for a few months and then crash and burn. And this is about high performing for the long term. That's where balance is vital, because we need all the dimensions of our life to be supporting us holistically. I was actually talking to a friend last week who's an Olympic athlete. And a lot of the work I'm doing and the research I'm doing is tying in the mindset and behaviors and habits of Olympic athletes or professional elite athletes into the corporate space and into business. And something that I keep picking up over and over again is it's looking at our life holistically, all of the areas. Are our relationships intact? Is our communication effective? Are we really taking care of ourselves, our well-being, our fitness, our nutrition? So it's not just, are we doing really well on the field? But for Olympic athletes, it's all of these areas of their life that have to be really fine-tuned. It's like that ecosystem of high performance in order to go out on the field and get the gold medal or win the race. And that's what it comes down to.
It's just so spot on, Lucy. It's so important looking at everything, like my biological, like I think of things in circles, and, you know, my biological circles, my environmental circles, my relationship circles. And you want to kind of, how is this one going? How's this circle going? That's how I usually map these things out in my journal, and making sure I'm putting enough time and effort into each of these circles, and making sure there's no rupture either going on in any of these areas. And it makes such a big difference to how I'm showing up. But also it's what keeps our nervous system intact. As soon as something's out of kilter, everything shifts. So it's so important. I love what you're doing. So you're doing this high performance coaching now. So you've moved out of the sobriety coaching. You sold Thrivalist, and congratulations, by the way. And now you've moved from the sobriety coaching into high performance coaching. How does that evolve? This is such an evolution from where you went from the corporate world to then starting Thrivalist. Let me just start about this evolution with you. Talk about this evolution and these next steps that you're taking at the moment into this high performance coaching, what it meant for you to take those steps out of the sobriety coaching. How did you know it was time? I've got so many questions. So tell me a little bit about it, this evolution.
Yeah. So you mentioned before, Danny, going from this corporate career, and when I launched into sobriety coaching and I trained to become a coach and then started Thrivalist, I really closed that corporate door, and I felt like, I hope I never have to open this again, because that world is not for me. And there was I had built up a lot of anxiety around relationships in the workplace. I'd had experiences of toxic bosses and harassment, and not so much harassment, but more bullying stuff going on. And so for me, it always felt like, I'm just going to close that door and never look back. But as I've evolved as a person and really gone down that path of doing all of this work on myself, what I've realized is I was running away from a lot of stuff. And a lot of that stuff I actually created myself. So a lot of, as I mentioned before, my drinking kind of morphed, kind of overflowed into my corporate life. And there were many things, and we can talk about them a little bit later on, but many things that I did when I was working, when I was drinking at a work function or coming in hungover, that anxiety that I carried with me because of the way that I was treating myself at home. I always blamed the workplace. I blamed my bosses. I blamed the situation that I was in, but actually, what I've learned and what I'm having to now really address. And as I reopen that corporate door, now building relationships with my colleagues again and reconnecting with bosses and posting on LinkedIn for the first time, I'm realizing I have to tell the truth. I have to talk about the whole story now. I can't pretend that it was all to do with the situation. A lot of this I brought into my work life, and ultimately closing that door was a running away strategy. I was hiding.
Oh my God, that is awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. And it's so true. God, I'm just having some like, whoa, like even in my situation too, really stepping back from the music industry and working in music and playing music, all those, I think I've had the same thing. I think I'm just having an absolute epiphany here right now. It's probably in some ways been a running away to a degree. Why is that? Look, and this moment too where you've said stepping out of the blame game and taking responsibility is so fucking powerful, isn't it? It just changes everything.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still very much at the beginning of even taking a step back into that door. So for me, am I feeling powerful yet? No. Am I feeling vulnerable? Yes. Scared? Yes. Do I want to do this? No, but I'm going to, because that's part of evolving in sobriety is actually doing the thing that we're shit scared of, right? It's like you can't not do that thing. And this is just that next phase. It's like, all right, let's go back. Let's go back in the past and really air out that dirty laundry and face those things that we did. I actually caught up with a manager last week from my past, and this was when I was working in a workplace that was, there was a lot of alcohol and in fact, a lot of drugs as well. Mm-hmm. And we would be drinking wine from 12 o'clock on a Friday at our desks. And for me, that was kryptonite. That was okay, let's get crazy. And the amount of things and the behavior that we got up to on those Friday nights and, you know, the next day, the Saturday would be so full of shame. I can't believe I did that. What was I thinking? Who's going to find out? And then having to walk in on the Monday with your head held in shame, praying that it wasn't going to get brought up, or praying that everyone would have just forgotten about it. And it's all funny because that's what everyone does. But it really affected how I performed at work, right? Because I'm just walking around with this shame on my back, embarrassment, and then I'm being told to stand up and present on the marketing plan. And it's like, how can I stand here in front of these people and do this when I know that they know who I really am and what I really do and what I'm really like because of alcohol, what alcohol does to me. Oh, and it's God. Funny. So yeah, catching up with this old boss, and she sort of, it was a really confronting minute when that first minute of sitting down with her, and I haven't seen her since back then really. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And she was lovely. And she's like, oh, it's, you know, I saw the Mamma Mia article. It popped up on my phone. This was back in 2021. And I was just so proud of you because finally you admitted. And there again, it's like, oh, it's such an uncomfortable conversation to have with someone still, especially someone that was your manager. Yes, I had a problem, but really owning it now and not running away from it. I'm not hiding anymore. I'm just going to talk about it. I know that from this will come power, as you mentioned, will come freedom, really.
Yeah, absolutely. It's almost like making amends what you're doing, like going back and facing those things. That's one of the steps, the 12 steps. It is. Yeah, it's a similar kind of thing, and it's a very powerful thing to do.
It really is. I think the difference is I wouldn't have even considered this part of that process a few years ago because I just thought I was never going to go back into the corporate world. That door was kind of shut. And I guess the difference is I didn't directly hurt anyone. I wasn't not that I'm aware of. Potentially I was, you know, I mean, I think I've mentioned to you before, I have called an ex-boss a see you next Tuesday, which I apologize for at the
to
time.
To his face?
No. Yes. Sorry, her face. So.
Oh, her face. Sorry.
Yeah. To her face when I was drunk in a blackout, couldn't remember, and coming into work on the Monday morning and literally being given a formal warning by this manager and sort of being told this behavior is not acceptable.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah, that was bad. And so of course I apologized at the time. So I sort of whether that's making amends. I mean, I'm not probably never going to go back and see this boss again. This was not the nice boss I caught up with last week. This is another boss. And so, yeah, I mean, you leave this trail of destruction behind you when you drink, when you have a drinking problem, and when it overflows into your life, your corporate life, your business, your work, it becomes really uncomfortable. And I guess you're right. I am making amends now. And it's interesting how, just going back to that, the process of evolution, I didn't have to choose high-performance coaching. And so when I talk about high-performance coaching, a lot of that is supporting healthier workplaces. So this is a big part of what I want to do now. I want to go back into workplaces and cultivate healthier, happier humans and team cohesion and communication. And I didn't have to choose this. And I guess in a way, I wonder if part of me choosing this was knowing that it was going to stretch me back into this space where I felt really uncomfortable. And with that comes work, right? It's interesting.
It's all those times in discomfort where little moments of healing happen. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's, you know, you're dealing with an ex-partner or a friend, there's been a rupture in a relationship, or having to go back and face some old demons. There's always an opportunity for healing in those moments, and they're important and they're an essential part of our growth. And I think, look, at the risk of getting woo-woo here, I honestly believe that the universe presents these opportunities for us to do some healing. I don't think they happen by accident. And I think you're right, exactly where you're probably meant to be in this moment. It's so important. And the other thing with it, Lucy, it's not just your healing that happens. It's healing for so many people that you will work with, or that you may have worked with in the past, or that have witnessed your evolution as well. So it's that there's this knock-on effect. I believe that anyway. It's not just you. It ripples out to so much more than just us. And it's amazing. And I think if people are brave enough like yourself to sit in that discomfort and actually own it and do the work, do that healing, sit in that discomfort, the possibilities become endless. And yeah, I think that's also when opportunities do start to present. I think that the universe, here I go again, the universe, but I do feel like the universe does reward us in that way.
I 100% agree. And that was absolutely my experience with Thrivalist. And again, it was that shame. And with anyone who has a drinking problem, shame is a huge barrier to freedom or to success. It keeps us small. It really holds us back. And every time we feel that inkling of having shame about something, I always encourage people to see that as an invitation to really push through it and face it. And with that, on the other side of that comes so much success and happiness.
I think this is really important. If I can just jump in here for people listening, oh God, like I'm just getting goosebumps here. Shame is a barrier to freedom. And it's so true. And we all have it, especially with us that have been big drinkers in the past, and even maybe people that don't drink. We've all made mistakes. We've all had things happen that we're not proud of. When you feel shame, where do you feel that in your body? How does it present to you when you think of something and you feel shame?
That's an interesting question. I think shame for me always presents with anxiety. So anxious symptoms, and for me it's that kind of uneasy feeling in my chest and in my stomach. It's a fight or flight. My drinking gave me so much shame, and it was just so much easier to run and hide and sweep it under the rug. In fact, I had a friend who we used to completely enable each other, but the next day it would be the phone conversation, oh my God, I did this. And she would say, that's okay. We all do it. We're probably going to do it again. It's all good. Back on the horse, you know, life goes on. And that was great to help me feel better to get through that day. But all that was just, it was, yeah, the hiding, the running away from.
Yeah.
So for me, shame is deeply connected with anxiety.
And that flight response. For me, shame, it starts in my stomach and then it hits my chest and I go into freeze. So the freeze, and I get kind of like a deer in the headlights almost, a bit confused. I'm like, oh God, oh God. Then I think comes the flight where I just don't want to think about it. So avoidant. But when we can actually learn to sit and go, oh, there it is. Okay, I'll just be with this feeling in my body and work my way through it. that's such an opportunity again to heal and to just let that process, you know, it's so much better to sit with those feelings. And it's nothing, I feel like shame can, you know, like as you say, it is a barrier to freedom and it holds us back so much. So if we can learn to work with that shame, we're able to, yeah, I guess really step forward then and really keep evolving. That shame just keeps us held back.
Yeah, so shame is always just an invitation to heal. It's always an opportunity to heal ourselves and grow.
So could you ever have imagined? So this is what I'm thinking too, because sometimes I think I was talking to you about this on the phone yesterday. Sometimes I could just pinch myself like, how the hell did I get here? Like this podcast, doing the work that I do, it's just like so far from where I was, like from my old life, even taking alcohol even out of the equation, just the music and being so entrenched in the music and music industry and all that. It was just never, like never we could have imagined doing what I do. And I'm hoping to evolve too. Like hopefully for me, I'm like, it won't just stay here too. I'd like to evolve beyond this at some point as well. You just never know what's around the corner. So when you think about yourself, Lucy, the old you in the corporate world who was completely out of balance and trying to juggle everything that you were juggling, could you ever have imagined or fathomed yourself being where you are right now in this moment, having this conversation with me here? They're talking about that you're a high performance coach. Like, could you ever have imagined that?
The funny thing is, Danny, I think I've always wanted to do this. I remember having a conversation. Yeah, I think I've always deep inside of me wanted this, but I'd never been able to, I don't even think I knew that I wanted this, right? I remember having conversation with a friend many, many years ago, and it must have been on one of my alcohol-free months. I used to kind of sporadically take a month off here and there, as we do when we have drinking problems, right? And saying, oh, I think that I can see myself doing some form of coaching or helping someone. I remember even saying, I'm going to write a book one day, a self-help book. I haven't done that, by the way, but that might be on the cards. But I just think that drinking and all of the other stuff that went with it, so we talk about, you know, the completely unbalanced life, it was never going to allow me to become what I really wanted to be. I was just going to stay stuck in the cycle and keep going to work every day, stressing that I couldn't pay the bills. So having to go, you know, feeling really trapped in this job that I didn't love and this world that I didn't love because I just couldn't see an alternative way out. Mm-hmm. And with sobriety comes clarity, comes so much beauty, but also energy, being able to put goals in place and actually achieve them. So the drive, consistency, we know consistency is so important for high performance. And for me, just starting with really simple little daily rituals that turned into lifestyle changes. I look at the little habits that I implemented 5.5 years ago that felt really hard and really big. You know, just a little bit of exercise every day. I know this sounds really weird, Danny, but flossing my teeth. I don't think I flossed my teeth when I drank. I didn't floss my teeth when I drank. These little habits to support me on the path of becoming who I am now. Things that I don't even think about anymore. Exercise is just a part of my DNA. It's non-negotiable. The way I eat, it's a non-negotiable. The way I communicate, even something as simple as having to learn how to express my needs to people around me for the first time really clearly and being afraid of that, but pushing myself through the fear. And now I think people know that I'm just really direct. I say it as it is. There's no beating around the bush. And that really supports my evolution as well. And so, yeah, with sobriety came clarity and a dream to help other women on this path. And so then Thrivalist was born and it was a beautiful, I mean, it was 4 years of my life, just complete dedication and consistency again, showing up every day, even when I didn't want to do the things like you do, Danny. We've got to show up every day. We have to serve our community. It's the most important part of what we do. And then I remember around, I want to say like August last year, so August 2023, I just started to feel like I was evolving and I wasn't feeling 100% connected and authentic when I supported my clients in early sobriety anymore. it kind of felt like I'm ready to give the sobriety stuff to someone else, but I'm going to be here to support you when you're sober and you're ready for that next phase. And that's what I kind of was finding myself doing. A lot of my sobriety coaching clients were going to other coaches in Thrivalist, and I was taking on the women who had 6 to 12 months of sobriety and were kind of like, well, what's next? And then, you know, you talk about getting a bit woo-woo, but I 100% believe in manifestation. And I had lunch with a girlfriend, and she's actually a coach as well. And she said to me, so what would be the best outcome for you right now? If you could see yourself in a couple of years from now, what would it be? And I just said to her, I think I want to pass Thrivalist on. I want to sell it.
Wow.
And she said, well, what number would be okay for you to move on? And I said the number. And from there, it just all fell into place. It's quite bizarre in terms of Georgie and I catching up and talking about it and agreeing on negotiating what she was going to pay for it and what it was worth. And we went through a 6-month kind of transition period of really making sure that the community was being supported and no one was going to be disengaged from the community or upset. So it all fell into place, and it just couldn't have worked out better if I'd dreamt of it all. I'm so grateful for the way that it turned out. And Georgie is the most beautiful, divine coach who the membership has not dropped. She's grown the membership since I've left. She's brought so much to Thrivalist that I couldn't have, because I had disconnected from that part of that sobriety part of myself. Wow. So the past few months has really been, I guess I've been seeing everything that I do every day is a bit of a laboratory. So researching and learning, and I'm doing new courses and training to become the high performance coach. And as I mentioned before, opening that corporate door again and really taking that step into all of those contacts I've got from the past. So yeah, it's been a beautiful evolution. And yeah, I love sharing this, because it does remind, because you forget how much we've done, haven't you? You forget how far you've come. And then you talk about it and you're like, oh, okay, I've done a couple of things.
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. And it's so inspiring. I love this whole conversation. And I think it's a great one for people to hear, no matter where they are in their sobriety, because you, like I say, not to say that everyone's going to become a sober coach, but you never know. There might be something that's tickling at you or that's been gnawing at you for some time, where once you start to get some clarity in your life and you start to get a bit more balance, then you might start to go, maybe I will start taking steps towards that thing that's been niggling at me, perhaps even my whole life. What is it? What is that thing? Or what is this thing that's presenting to me? I was saying this to my group last night in the grads call. When we're drinking all the time, our body is so busy trying to feel better and trying to get back into equilibrium that there's really no time or space. There is no clarity, and there's not much time for putting energy into other things, because we're literally working so hard to clear the toxin and clear all that out of our body, the anxiety, all those things. And then you might get a few days of clarity and then you're back right where you started again, and so it goes. So it's very hard to evolve past that. So when we get rid of the alcohol, I don't know if you found this, suddenly like, oh, my body's not working so hard at getting rid of that stuff. Sure, there's that time and the thing that we all go through where then perhaps emotional stuff starts to rise. And that can be an ongoing thing for years. Everyone's just not saying that doesn't just happen in, that happens at the 8-month mark for X amount of weeks. That can just be ongoing and ongoing, but we have more clarity. And then we do start to see, I don't know about you, Lucy, but what I definitely start to notice when things drop into my hemisphere, I don't just brush it off. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder why that's here. Do I need to explore that a little bit more? What would this mean for me? So you do start to have that clarity. When before, like I was running Earth Bottles, that was my company I had previously as well. And that was just, oh fuck, I was just making the worst decisions, worst choices, because I was fucking hungover all the time. Also being able to let go of that business, you know, actually to just close that down and let that go, should have happened a long time ago. But having the clarity and the spaciousness in my life to be able to let that go and then step forward, because that was holding me back too. So it's really great to know that the more clarity that we have and the more balance that we have, we start to kind of understand these things that are put in front of us. We can take steps.
Yeah. And I guess not only is your body, when you're drinking, trying to process the toxin and, you know, working overdrive to get it all out, it's also fueling your negative self-belief, your low self-worth. Sure. So it's fueling all of these horrible feelings that you have about yourself. And the thought of kind of doing anything for me, entrepreneurial or stepping out of my comfort zone or anything extra, because I felt so, my life felt so busy, so full, so stressed, was just never going to happen. And I really encourage, and I love what you said, Danny, about really taking note of, I guess, the messages we get. And for me in early sobriety, oh my gosh, it was out of control. There were months of just feeling like, and that was a bit of the pink cloud, but that euphoria and like, oh my God, I'm getting all of these messages and synchronicities and I keep seeing that person and why am I seeing her? I'm going to talk to her, and really taking note of all of that. And for me, journaling during those early months and still today has been so powerful because it helps you draw and connect those dots and allowing yourself to go with those feelings, go with those intuitive downloads or intuitive feelings, because I truly believe they are leading you down the right path. And just taking note is going to be so powerful for your future.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. So Lucy, what is a high performance coach?
So I work with high achievers. And when I say high achievers, I mean the busy working mum. I mean the exec. I mean, I'm actually working with a CEO at the moment of a company. He's a male, so I work with men and women. A high performance coach really supports high achievers to unlock their highest potential. And for me, it's really important that this is happening in a healthy and sustainable way. So we're looking at how you can achieve the, I guess, reach peak performance in your life without sacrificing those other dimensions. And that's the holistic approach to high performance. So yeah, that's what I'm doing with my clients. And I am really passionate about it being something that my clients can take with them long into the future. Yes, they can reach that one really big goal that they're striving for, but they're not going to lose that equilibrium in the ecosystem of well-being. They're going to take that on with them for the rest of their life.
Amazing. And how do you kind of go about teaching someone a bit about balance?
Well, the first step is really taking a bit of a pulse check. So looking at your life, and when you were talking before about those circles, Danny, I'm not sure if you're aware of the well-being wheel, but essentially it is looking at the dimensions of our life. I've actually got an exercise on my website. I can give you the link to that for people to complete. And it's essentially taking a look at all the dimensions of our life and where we're kind of grading them from 0 to 10 at the moment. And so for you, Danny, I would imagine professionally you're kind of feeling quite good. Business is going well. And then you would look at your relationships, and I don't know what your relationships are like, but you would look at that and give that a number. And it's looking at your finances as well. So we're taking a look at all the dimensions. We're scoring them 0 to 10. And then we're looking at, okay, so how can we balance this out? And what I see with so many of my clients is, professionally, it's like 10 out of 10 because that is what they have always thought high performance was about. It's always about showing up at work and doing your best and getting in at 8 o'clock and leaving at 6 o'clock. And then what's happening, you know, around the edges and in the rest of the ecosystem is the balance is not even. So their relationship with their partner is not great. Their sleep is terrible. They've got a really poor sleep hygiene routine. They're not feeling confident in social situations, or they're not supporting their spiritual side or leading into that that part of themselves. So yeah, I really help. That would be the first step I would recommend for anyone. It's just taking a look at all the dimensions and making sure that it feels balanced, because that's where you're going to be performing the highest long term.
Yeah, absolutely. And like we were saying earlier, if you're too much in one area, other areas are going to suffer. Like if you're just working, 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 your relationships are going to suffer. Absolutely, 100%. There's no doubt about it. Or your spiritual life might end up suffering. And those two go out of whack. Well, then what happens? I mean, how is that going to affect our working life? Of course, it's going to have an effect on the working life eventually. If it all goes to shit and the relationships all fall apart, that's going to have an effect on you. So this is really powerful stuff. I think it's fantastic. So tell me, Lucy, why high achievers? Why not just, I don't know, old love down the road?
That's a really good question. And it really, this idea of wanting to support high achievers was born from working with people who have overcome an alcohol use disorder and really understanding that if you can get through an alcohol use disorder and you can recreate your life in sobriety, you are a high achiever. Like that, you get that step straight away.
So true.
And so that for me, kind of this idea of wanting to work with people who are ready to show up for themselves, work with people who know that it takes hard work, it takes grit, it takes consistency. These people who are willing to invest energy and commit to their well-being and self-improvement. These are the type of people that I just love working with so much, because this is when we can get some amazing results.
Absolutely. I'm not going to lie. Like when you're working with people and they're committed to their change and they're like, they show up and they do the stuff. I mean, it's obviously, it's inspiring on this end as well. You want to also then show up for that person, that it makes a big difference for us too, you know, when we're working with people. Or if you see people go from one extreme to the other, it's so rewarding as well. And you want to be rewarded in your work as well. I totally understand that. Yeah. So is it hard working with someone, say, who's a high achiever, a CEO type? How do you get someone like that to tap into their spiritual side and give to that part of themselves? Is that difficult?
It's interesting that you say that, because often when we're not looking after ourselves, we're not focused on our well-being. That's sort of the first part of ourselves to go, that connection to our spiritual side. But as we... I mean, I'm yet to meet anyone who has gone on the sober journey and who has put in the work to completely evolve as a human who has zero connection to their spiritual side. I'm yet to meet a person like that. I'm not sure, have you?
Not successfully. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's part of the success.
Yeah. And so people who are in positions of being a CEO or an exec or someone who's kind of working up the corporate ladder, in order to be the most successful version of themselves, having a deep connection to that inner part of themselves. And essentially that can be a part of spirituality. It doesn't have to be a connection to God or a belief system. It's more about having a deep connection to that highest part of ourselves. It's these people who will often actually have that connection to their higher self. So no, spirituality is not hard. One, the one that's hardest, the dimension when we're looking at all the eight dimensions of well-being. So the dimension that I find most of my clients are really struggling with is physical. And physical is exercise, it's nutrition, it's looking after our body.
Wow, and,
you know, it's simply that they're drinking too much or they don't have the coping mechanisms to support themselves in healthy ways. So they're binge eating. One of my clients got into a terrible habit of just not eating breakfast, and then at 1 o'clock she'd just go downstairs and eat whatever it was that she can get her hands on from the cafe. And it's this habit that we get stuck into. So that would be the dimension that I see most of my clients struggling in the most.
Wow, that's really interesting. And of course, you know, if the nutrition is out, everything's out. The effect that the food, like foods that we eat and what we drink, has on us and our brain and our brain health, it's immense.
And I mean, exercise is crucial for feeling amazing, right? It's just the best form of natural antidepressant ever.
Absolutely. Lucy, I just had this dental surgery that went askew and ended up really sick with a bit of infection. And it was just so full on and so painful. And I was wiped out. And this is so unlike me, I just couldn't get out of bed was well over a week. And of course, I wasn't doing any exercise, and I'm used to like walking, jogging, I'm at the gym, I'm doing my cryotherapy or my cold water immersion stuff, none of it. And I found by the end of it, I was starting to get really cranky. My mind was starting to go, I was still journaling, I was still doing my practices. I couldn't do any yoga, I couldn't do any forward bends, I couldn't do anything. So, oh my gosh, I saw how I just went back, like I was in not a great place. And it happened quickly, Lucy, like just not having those things in place for me. I just realized how important they are. I'm almost going to start crying because, and then I was starting to get cranky with Ash and cranky with the kids. And there was one night Ash ended up laughing at me because he's like, what is wrong with you being so gnarly? Like, I know I can't stop. I just feel like being really mean to you. It was awful. But yeah, that was what was showing up for me. And so it is so important. The nutrition was out as well. Like I was only having a bit of yogurt and mashed potato when I was just so, you know, I wasn't eating any of the raw stuff I like to eat. And so, yeah, everything slips when that stuff's not in line. So I was so grateful. I remember doing my first walk on the beach and I still had a bit of throb going on in the mouth, but I was just like, I just have to walk a little bit. And incrementally each day as I started to get better, you know, and I'm back to big walks on the beach and sunrise in the morning. And oh God, so grateful, and so grateful to my body to be able to heal. But yes, sorry, that it is so important, isn't it? Those key elements, nutrition, exercise. Tell me, what are the eight dimensions of well-being?
So we have physical, which is obviously food and nutrition and exercise and how we're taking care of our body. We've got occupational, so what we're doing for work. Social, so what our communities and our connection with loved ones is like. Spiritual, we talked a bit about that connection with our higher self or even a God of some sort. Intellectual, so how we're really pushing ourselves to learn and to grow our brain.
Yes.
Environmental. Environmental, which is, you know, our home where we live, location or house. Financial, so how our finances are doing.
Yeah.
Well, and then emotional. Huge. Yeah.
Emotional, of course.
Emotional, which I've left.
In there?
Yeah, so that would be, which one was that? That was social.
Social.
Falls into social. So that's our relationship with loved ones. It's our relationship with our community.
Yep.
Having regular, contact with friends and family.
All right. So for people listening, you can go to Lucy's website. We'll put links in the show notes. But just if you're driving the car and you can't get to it now. So just thinking about, okay, how's my physical life looking, my social life, my spiritual life, my environmental situation, my finances, intellectual. And the last one here is emotional. So all those eight areas where we can look at our lives and go, okay, how am I performing? How's my balance? Give us an example of some questions that you'd ask or prompt people when they're looking at these aspects of their life, Lucy.
So we want to be evaluating each dimension on a scale of 1 to 10. So you're really going to gauge its current status in your life, with one representing the least successful and 10 indicating the most successful. Then you're going to be asking yourself, like, why did you assign that number that you did? What's the missing gap that's going to help you to increase that number? What is going well and what could do with some improvement in each area? And I think I mentioned before, a lot of my clients are kind of a 10 out of a 10 when it comes to occupational, but then there may be a 1 out of 10 when it comes to physical. And so also looking at what number feels right. And this is where a lot of this work is intuitive. So what feels right for each dimension? And often it's not so much a 10 out of 10 anymore in occupation. It's actually an 8 out of 10 is actually feeling better, because what that means is that I can invest more energy into those other dimensions. And so then just starting with one or two dimensions to begin with, and either work with a coach or work on your own and set some goals and actions around how you can achieve the number that you're wanting to achieve in those dimensions.
Okay, amazing. That's awesome. That's so awesome. I love this stuff. I think it's so fantastic. I'm going to go and sit and look at all these areas of my life as well and ask those questions. I think it's fantastic. And so, Lucy, you've got so much going on. So you've got this coaching. You've also got an amazing retreat coming up at Soma in Byron. What a beautiful place. That's very luxurious.
Did you watch 9 Perfect Strangers?
No.
Nicole Kidman. It was a bit of a silly show.
I read the book.
Okay, yeah, you read the book. The show, it was filmed at Soma. And I remember when I watched it, I said to my partner, David, I said, I'm going to either go to a retreat or run a retreat there one day. And so that's what I'm doing this year. I'm running a retreat for high achievers. And yes, you're a high achiever if you're sober or you're willing to invest that energy and time into yourself. It's all about balance. So this retreat is looking at how can we really prioritize our well-being and leave feeling deeply nourished, restored, energized, empowered, excited, and healthy. I have a beautiful yoga instructor who is coming to run yoga. We have Reiki, a sound bath. We have massages. We also have a whole food chef who's going to be preparing all of our meals. There'll be bushwalking. There's high performance coaching with me. So we'll sort of set the tone of the retreat with one-on-one coaching, and then there'll be workshops throughout the retreat to really fine-tune. I want the attendees to leave with a five-year goal, so a plan that they're working towards for the next 5 years and how they can really incorporate balance to be able to achieve whatever it is that they want to achieve in life.
And it will be from the 15th of August until the 19th of August, which is actually my 41st birthday. So it's going to be a beautiful way to spend my birthday. So yeah, it's a 5-day retreat and it's a real 5-star, luxurious, beautiful experience.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. I just, yeah, that place is stunning.
So I imagine that would just be for the very, very lucky people who manage to nab themselves a spot on that retreat. Yeah, I'm sure. What a beautiful investment for themselves, and great, and get to work with you. Absolutely fantastic. So Lucy, thank you so much. If anyone wants to reach out to you, what's the best way to reach out to you these days?
Yeah, so you can head over to my Instagram, Lucy Quick Coaching, or just send me an email, hello@lucyquick.com. I'd love to hear from you and, yeah, support you in any way. And thank you so much for having me, Danny. It's such a pleasure to be here on your beautiful podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for coming back yet again. And I'll definitely be speaking to Georgie soon. I want to get her on the podcast, the lady who bought Thrivalist from you, and catch up with her and hear her story and see what she's about. That will be amazing. And just thank you for everything that you have done in the space and what you continue to bring to people. I think it's really, really exciting. You're such a gorgeous, generous soul. And I think anyone who gets to work with you is super lucky. So yeah, please do reach out to Lucy and think about maybe going to SOMA. What an amazing experience.
Thanks so much, Danny.
Thanks, Lucy. I'll talk to you very soon. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.